Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 131 of Your Overseas Connection. I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, and today is August 30th, 2011, and we are the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. Yes, indeed. Joining me this week, Mr. Michael Chin.
That's right. I've got sound effects this week. Oh, yeah. So, I remember El Presador. Remember him?
Yes.
Football day is down at the Cleveland Sanitation.
I don't know what he says.
Nobody does. Nobody.
He says football day is at Cleveland Sant Iglesias, which is a high school in Cleveland.
I bet you tell kids that Santa's not real, don't you? Hey? Jeez.
I do. I'm sorry.
Do you know he's not real, right? Yes, Gamma Tag Chin Chitty, PlayStation Network Tag. Chinny1985, Twitter, Chinny1985, and other things, same. Boom. Done.
Awesome.
What's going on?
What's going on is we've got Mr. Christopher Matthew with us today.
No, you haven't.
Okay.
I'm simply a figment of your imagination. Hello, everyone. Chris Matthew, OC underscore CP Matthew on Twitter, CPM1376 on Xbox Live, and CP Matthew on the PlayStation Network. I think that's it.
That's about enough. That's more than enough, Chris. You know who is not joining us this week, but we're crossing our fingers, is back next week. That would be Mr. Richard Primrose. It's going to go like this all show, isn't it?
Yes. This is how the Overseas Connection is going to go.
Yeah, so
you can wave
bye-bye
to the old show.
So we are announcing right now, we are taking auditions for Mike's spot for future shows. Ah, no, Mike, we would never get rid of you. Come on. But, you know, maybe we should just move forward and start discussing what we've been playing.
Brilliant.
What have you been playing? God, you know, this feels kind of old school today. I don't know what it is about this, Mike. Mm. It has this kind of old school vibe to the show.
But, drop that old school.
Hey, me go, Boyakasha.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Mike, why don't you start it up? What have you been playing, my friend?
Well, on the Google Doc, right, it doesn't say anything. So
clearly, you've not been playing anything.
I've not been playing anything. I have played... what did I talk about last week?
I talked about Infamous last week.
Did I tell you I finished it?
Yes, I believe we found out you finished Infamous.
I know what I've played. I played James Bond Bloodstone.
Oh, how is that?
That's it. It's okay. It's an okay, average, mediocre game. It's rough. It doesn't really feel like a Bond game. It feels just like they had very little time to make that game and push it out because I don't know. The ending is just ridiculous. It just goes, "Yep, the end. Oh, we killed somebody off, but whatever. Like, you'll never know how because whatever." We can't be bothered to finish it.
So. Okay, so you finished it.
Yeah, I finished it.
All right. And
so, you know, sorry. I finished it, and it's a four-hour game. It's not very long.
No, that is not long.
No, but...
is there multiplayer?
There is multiplayer.
Is anybody playing it?
There are people playing it for some reason. I don't know why, but there are people playing it. It's kind of like Uncharted, I guess, but it's very like run of the mill. You could probably predict. Greg, try and predict what the multiplayer's like.
A little janky, and
but what are the things that they have in there?
Oh, it'll be team deathmatch.
Yeah,
capture the flag.
Yep.
Yep, and maybe some kind of Conquest Conquer, like headquarters. Yep.
So what do you think happens when you play, like when you get kills and stuff?
When you get kills?
Streaks, you get rewards, airstrikes, yep. UAVs.
No airstrikes, no.
No airstrikes?
You get XP.
Okay, XP. And you can buy new weapons, maybe?
There you go.
This sounds
gadgets?
Familiar.
Are there gadgets?
Not really, actually. No, not really.
Do the gadgets include jam trousers?
No.
That's a random reference to Eddie Izzard's stand-up comedy.
And that's exactly why that game failed.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they had jam trousers, they'd have won.
Yes, if they had jam trousers, they would have won.
They don't have enough of this. That Bond feeling you get, you know, like they only play like the theme music once, I think. You don't feel like Bond very often. The only split seconds you do feel like Bond is they've took things out of Batman, so you got like the detective mode in there. But instead of a detective mode, you're looking at your phone, right? And it's just weird because it looks like he's texting while in a shooter, and you just think, Daniel Craig, come on, concentrate. You're in
Put
a
phone away. Come on,
yeah. So they've done that, so you know where the enemies are, you know what weapons they're carrying or where the ammo is, blah, blah, blah. They also do the Splinter Cell thing where you kind of snap to, like, you earn a focus point by beating people up, and then you get, like, three, and then you hold down the LB button, and then you shoot, and it goes straight to headshots. And then when you do, like, say you knock somebody out, you press X, right, you knock somebody out, and then straight away you press LB and right trigger. That moment, at that split second, Greg... You feel like James Bond. Apart from that, right, it's not great. Like I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Oh, it's back to boring again. So, eh. And Joss Stone is horrible in it. Horrible.
So, you sent that back, obviously, to Love Film already.
I sent that back.
Is there a new game on the way to you?
Well, this is the thing, right? Operation Flashpoint Red River. Yes, I want to bring this up for the fourth time. Right? I am a glutton for punishment. I realize that I am. Please tell me.
Wait a minute. Please tell me you are getting that game back from Love Film.
But the thing is, right? I've got a commission with them, right? And every time I mention the game name, I get some money. So, Red River... I tried to play it on my own. Now, I played it with Chris. I played it with Marsh. No success. Me and Chris tried to play it. And Chris, how did that go?
Not well.
Yeah. Because...
Like, I've had no problems with the game until I tried to play it with Chin.
Right. So that says something to me. That says that Operation Red River, right, is my copy isn't working. So I thought, right, I'm going to send it back as faulty. Because I played it on my own, right? And the exact same mission in Red River, right, didn't work. Like, it just froze and just froze my old Xbox. And I was like, it's got to be my copy. And I looked at the disc. There's no scratches on it or anything. But I definitely said
bye-bye
to the disc because I didn't want to see it anymore. So I shipped it off. And with Love Film, you can say, can you send me a replacement? Or there's an option where it says, I don't want to see this game again. That's quote... What they say.
I don't want to see this game again.
I've never felt so passionate about that little like section of the... No, I don't want to see this game again. Maybe I will play it again, like, that's a total lot, because I did enjoy it, but I hope I don't get that fucking disc again. So, no good.
Okay.
No good. Did I mention that I played Tall Soldiers last week, or...
No, you did not.
I played Tall Soldiers. It's fun. I'm not going to buy it. I think I'll buy it when it's on offer. It still kind of was a little bit. It wasn't tower defense-y enough for me. I don't know, like that the trial.
Did you try it in general mode?
I don't know what that is.
So I don't think that's available in the
it's
demo.
It's not. Okay. Yeah, that's right. You have to unlock it. So when you finish a level. In Toy Soldiers Cold War, you unlock what's called general mode. And right. In general mode, you can't take over any of the turrets. You can't drive the vehicles. You just put the turrets down and let them do their thing.
Oh, so it becomes complete tower defense.
Yeah, so if tower defense is what you want, general mode is probably the way to play it.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe. But I think it's still a game that's going to go, that's going to be like on, you know, the deal. Like, I'm not going to, yeah, it's, oh well. But
it didn't grip you enough. You enjoyed what you did, but it wasn't 1,200 points worthy for you.
Galo.
That's not what I think of the game. That's just a coincidence that I played that sound effect. But no, it's when it's on offer, I'll pick it up and I'll play with you guys. But not enough to grab me.
I keep hoping that the original's going to come on sale, but it has not yet.
Yeah, I thought for sure they would put the original on sale when this other one came out, but no.
Or at least leading up to the release. To kind of get some attention, to kind of garner some attention.
You'd think.
I don't know.
Oh, well. No, instead they released Hydrophobia at discount.
I think that's pretty much it for me. I've never. I don't know why I said that. I'd never play Chad Warden again. I was reading that and said never. that's what Greg wrote on the show notes, everyone. But yes. Whatever.
Bullshit.
So I'm going to do what I want.
Why can't we play Chad Warden? He's a funny guy.
He's a funny guy. Asshole. And also...
get all the honeys with that PS troop.
That's true. that's a VG thing. That's a VG with Brent Chan.
I don't remember that one, but that's hilarious.
fun. Anyway, I don't think I've played anything else. No. Okay. I'll just say no. I can't remember.
Well, then we will move on. We will move over to Mr. Christopher Matthew.
Fine.
Fine.
I, too, have been playing Toy Soldiers The Cold War. Unlike Mike Chin, I enjoyed it enough to purchase it.
Da-da-da-da.
Yes.
And I have completed it. The story, anyway.
Right. Was it everything you hoped and more?
I don't know. I don't think anything's everything I hoped and more. But it was fun.
That was deep.
I don't know. That should be a sound effect for the future.
It should, everything I say should be a sound effect. You should have a Moose Chris Matthews soundboard.
A moose?
Yeah, my friends at work call me Moose. I don't, and I've started to internalize it. Anyway.
Whatever, Moose.
So totally,
keep talking, Moose.
So totally distracted now. I've desynchronized myself. No, I enjoyed it. It was fun. I like some of the kind of, you know, the parody of the 80s movies, you know. So there's Rambo in there, and there's Top Gun in there, and there's Red Dawn in there, and there's all the different kind of 80s war movies made fun of, especially Rambo.
Yeah.
You know, when you play as the commando.
Let me ask you a question. We both smartass. We both learned this week, thanks to
Cudmorrow.
Yes, Cudmorrow, that you can in fact put fences down.
Yes,
barbed wire fence.
Oh yeah, I did that. I think.
Yeah. Have you found that helpful, Chris?
I found it helpful on the mission. So there's an achievement for earning a platinum medal playing on general mode. Now, the challenge with playing on general mode is that your turrets are not nearly as effective when you're not manning them, right? The AI will not shoot as far or as accurately as you.
Okay.
So I found that very effective on that because the barbed wire slowed the enemies down enough that the turrets had time to deal with them.
Okay.
But that's the only time I've used the barbed wire. It might have been helpful in the last mission when I almost died. The last mission was hard to me.
Yeah. Well, the monument mission was pretty difficult too.
Yeah, once you kind of figured out the pattern of the enemies on that one and got the helicopter,
yeah,
it wasn't as bad. But the last mission was actually pretty easy right until the boss showed up. The last boss was kind of a challenge, but
okay. Good.
What else about Cold War?
Or what else have you been playing?
Oh, well, I've been playing Dirt 3, of course. I've
of course.
Been playing Operation Flashpoint Red River.
Of course.
had some good, actually made some progress with that one. I kind of felt like I'd been stymied, but I managed to link up with Dana and Cybernaut and
What game are you talking about? Red River. Oh, yeah. Okay.
That game you can't play, Mike.
The one that you can't play. So I tried to play with Mike, and it crashed. Mike's bad copy of the game crashed my Xbox. So
that's how bad mine is. Yeah.
That is pretty bad.
Yeah. I affected his Xbox over the Atlantic.
Over the ocean.
Affected or infected?
Both.
Hopefully affected. Hopefully there's no permanent damage. Luckily for me, I've only got about 4 more months till my R2-D2 Xbox arrives. Yay! Anyway. Yeah. Back to Red River. I managed to link up with Corzan, Dana, and Cybernaut. And they're actually quite good at the game, unlike me. So we were able to do some of the combat search and rescue missions pretty quickly and get gold medals, which was nice because it's always nice to get gold medals. Thanks to them. I tried to play a bit more of Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light. I think after having played it in co-op, I just can't play it solo anymore. It's not any fun.
Yeah, I've
never played that solo, ever.
Yeah. Let's see. Played some Halo Reach with Chinny and company on Sunday with the speed Halo.
Was it fun?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I was having a great time with speed Halo, and then we started playing regular Halo, and I remembered how much I suck at Halo. So I had to go do something else.
But did you stick around for the Destruction Derby Halo?
No, I left during the Capture the Flag portion.
Because afterwards we played Destruction Derby Halo, and that was a lot of fun.
That does sound like fun. You know what I miss is Griffball. Griffball is still one of my favorite game modes.
Never play Griffball.
Oh, you should. It's good fun.
Mm. We had a big turnout. We had a big turnout though, didn't we?
Yeah, it was 16 people there.
16 people.
Yeah, not me though.
None of them were Greg.
I think I'm going to be able to make this one. I think I'm going to be able to make it.
The truth is that I was trying to stay on as long as possible, right? And I was like, hey, like one more. Let's change it up so people don't get bored. And I was
sent me a message literally about half hour before I was able to jump on.
Yeah. And like about quarter to eight, I could see people was like, kind of like, going there. I was like, all right, I'll stick around for a bit more. I was like, this is going to die off. Because usually we start at 6.
Right.
Usually ends about 8 because people have to do stuff. Sometimes it can go on to 9 or 10, but yeah, most of the time it finishes about 8.
Yeah, so that was fun.
It was fun.
And then, let's see, I dusted off Command & Conquer 3 this last week. I was having the real-time strategy bug, and so I decided to dust that one off.
And how did that go?
I'm actually warming up to the game now 4 years later. Five years later. The first time I played Command & Conquer 3, I played it on my Mac, which is essentially the same as the PC, you know.
What up, Mac?
Mouse.
I said, what up, Mac? You remember like from Epic Meal Time when they go, what up, Jack?
Oh, yeah.
I say, what up, Mac?
What up, Meat Puck? Yeah, that guy. So anyway, I was just convinced that there was no way I could enjoy a real-time strategy game without a keyboard and mouse.
There ain't no way you got to do that shit.
Yeah. But now that I've kind of gotten accustomed to the Xbox 360 control setup, I've actually been having a good time with it.
You got used to it.
So I've been going. Chinny doesn't even need a soundboard. He just there's a string on
I
his back.
I just got my own, yeah.
Somebody's pulling the string on his back.
You got used
there's
to it.
There's a snake in my boot. So I've been going through trying to get gold medals on all the missions, which is just basically finish it on the hardest difficulty with getting all the bonus objectives. It's really not that hard. It just takes time. So I don't know if I'll ever finish the game, but it's nice to have it around every now and again. I'll put it in, play a few missions, and then I'm happy and I move on.
Happy and move on.
Yeah. Let's see. And then the last thing I've been playing, I'm sorry the list is so long. I played a demo for a game called Crazy Machines, which is a kind of an interesting little puzzle game. So you have a puzzle before you, and you've got to get an object from one end of the puzzle to the other. And so you've got a few spare parts that you can add to the map, so to speak. And then it's essentially a gravity game. Once you let it go, gravity moves everything, right?
Is this an indie game, or is this
It's an XBLA game.
Huh.
I don't know if it used to be an indie game that is now an XBLA game. It could that possibility is very certain. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. There's like little catapults, and so sometimes you got to put something over. So that at the start of each map, it's just sort of like wherever you put something, that's where it stays. And then as soon as you hit go, anything that's not bolted to the game board will fall. And okay. So you can make things fall and push buttons, and then radio controlled trucks go and catapults launch and lights come on. And supposedly there's lots of different things you can do. I only played the 5 maps that were available in the demo. I don't know if it's worth $10, but it was kind of fun for a little while.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it? That's it.
Me. That was a long list. I'm sorry.
Don't
be sorry.
I'm embarrassed. I thought I could feel it. Ricky Bobby.
Let's see. For me, this week, Deus Ex Human Revolution has absolutely taken over my gaming time.
You and it seems everyone else on my friends list.
Yeah, it is a good game. It is not perfect. So let me just get this out of the way. I know last week we were talking, and Mike, I know I made comments to you that, you know, I thought the voice acting was, you know, pretty high up there, and that it was kind of on par with, say, Uncharted, Drake's Fortune. I'm backing off from that now.
Yeah.
It is hit and miss. When it is on, the voice acting in Deus Ex is awesome. It is absolutely on par with other games. Of, you know, that high caliber. But there are times when it is not good. And when it's not good, unfortunately, what ends up happening is you also will notice that, you know, it becomes the, you know, not the prettiest game, at the dance. So, I mean, it's not a huge knock. It's a minor thing, to be honest.
Minor thing, but it's a shame. It's a shame.
It is a shame because, you know, there's one instance like where there's this a hostage, and she starts to talk. And as soon as she talks, I was just like, oh, that's horrible. And then I'm looking at her character animation and you know, how they did the character model. And I was just like, oh, that's horrible. I mean, it really deflated my entire image of the game for a brief second. But the good news about the game is the story is so well done, and it really is a sci-fi detective story. I mean, you feel like you are taking part in this, you know, this big mysterious plot that you're trying to unravel. And,
like you're Blade Runner or something.
Yeah, it definitely has a Blade Runner vibe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it hasn't lost its charm with me. I enjoy all the little things. I mean, the hacking minigames are even when you have the ability to hack and you think that you have a high enough level to hack, there still can be a challenge. And I like that. I like that they don't just make the game overtly easy when you level certain things up.
Okay.
Combat, at least for my character, because the way I've done my upgrades, is still very difficult. Like if I get in a firefight, you know, depending on how tough the enemies are coming at me, you know, I will die quickly. It takes just a few rounds to put me down. And that's because I've invested in other areas trying to upgrade my hacking ability, my speech abilities, that kind of thing. But, you know, you'll get, you know, cool little enhancements, like the ability to see enemies through walls, that kind of thing. And it just, I mean, there's just so many different ways to approach each issue. Yeah.
Stu was saying, like, the options are massive. Like, it's like a bit crazy.
And you always, it seems like, inevitably, I discover additional ways I could have gone about the mission as I'm kind of cleaning, you know, finishing it up and cleaning up the areas, or, you know, kind of going through and finding the things that I want. And then I'll find, like, a secret vent or an alternative door that I'm like, oh, you know what, I could have gone that route. So what it ends up doing is as you get used to, you know, the fact that there are alternate routes, you start kind of training yourself to look and figure out, okay, do I want to go guns in blazing? Do I want to try and take the stealth route? For me, one of the things, you know, I the game rewards you pretty heavily with a nice big fat, I think, 100-point achievement if you complete the game without killing anybody.
Nice. Is that tough?
It's not tough because they certainly there are a number of non-lethal weapons that, you know, the stun guns and a long-range dart rifle. So you can go that route. But for me, I actually enjoy having the ability to say, you know what, I want to go in and maybe just take people out silently, you know, non-lethally, or just have the option to go in and have a firefight. Because the lethal takedowns are pretty satisfying. You know, he has these blades that extend out of his elbows, and those are, you know, kind of part of you. You know, you don't have to upgrade to those. Those are part of the character.
They're in you, man. They're in you.
They are.
Would the whole kind of like not killing anybody be a good second playthrough thing?
It could very well be. I think it is going to be a challenge because it not only can you not kill anybody directly, but certain actions by yourself, if I'm not mistaken, also impact that. So things like having turrets kill people,
yeah,
will negatively impact that achievement. So. It's a tough one, but I mean, it could be something that to definitely try and play through for a second time because this game.
I don't think I could be asked to do it if turrets. Like, oh man, it sounds like stressful stuff.
It is and it isn't, but I mean, you know, again, you know, like I said, they give you so many different tools to take people out non-lethally that I don't think you'll find it like. Well, for lack of a better way to put it, you know, it's not going to penalize you. Because you're trying to go that route. It's going to give you ample tools to do that. It's just a matter of going through and doing it and being successful at it. And the game is tough. I mean, you know, again, you know, you're maybe going to try and take people out non-lethally, but they're going to be coming at you with bullets.
Right.
So, you know, and one of the things I do like is, you know, little touches like, you know, and I think I talked about this last week, the tranquilizer, you shoot somebody, it doesn't instantly knock them out. It takes a couple seconds, and they'll even like take a couple more steps. They don't, and they never know that they actually got hit with a dart because it, in a sense, kind of, you know, is one of those like it painlessly, you know, injects into their neck or into their back, wherever it hits. But you know, they'll have that few second delay, and then they'll drop. And if you're not careful, like I shot a guy with a dart, and I instantly popped out of cover and was like, oh, okay, I got him, and he actually pulled his gun on me, took a couple shots before he dropped the gun and passed out. And so, you know, things like that definitely occur, and you have to be careful because, again, he could also warn another guard. If you're popping out, he starts shouting and trying to shoot you, it will alert other guards if they're in the area. But it's those little touches that I just love, and it's the attention to detail that really makes this game stand out.
It sounds like a game that's made with love, you know what I mean? It's made with people by people who just like love the game, and I always think you can tell that when a great game comes through. It's like people have really enjoyed working on this.
Yeah, I think they really paid attention to the original Deus Ex, and they said we are going to make a proper prequel because it is a prequel game. But they definitely paid attention to a lot of the trappings of the Deus Ex series. So, anyway, highly recommend. You know, definitely check out that game. It is one of the better games this year.
Let me ask you this: the whole like when people like enemies are paralleling around and stuff, is it pattern watching? Is it pattern watching like it was back in the day,
yes,
like the old Hitman?
Yeah. So you, I mean, especially if you're trying to get around them, you're watching for the patterns. You know, they'll have their patrol pattern that they're going to go through. You know, and security cameras will have that, you know, 2 second delay before it starts panning back across the other direction, that kind of thing. And so, you know, you're often looking for the pattern and figuring out what the best way is to get to the next point, you know, entry point. So it's good stuff. A couple other games on the playlist were demos. I checked out the Gunstringer demo today.
Is that out?
Huh. It is out, and I was actually surprised to see it out. I didn't think they were going to release a demo, to be honest. Gave it a whirl, and it's fun. It's not a hardcore shooter, you know, by any stretch. It is more akin to kind of a platforming game. That would probably be the better way to explain it. You use your left hand to do character movement, whether it be as you're running forward to jump over things. You basically lift your hand up like you're pulling up the marionette. And then certain times you'll be in kind of a cover-based shooting situation where the way they handle it is you're kind of in cover, and then you use your hand left or right to basically pop out of cover.
And does it work okay? Does it like...
Yeah. I mean, the controls all worked fine for what they're doing. Now, if you're looking for a complicated, you know, I want to be able to move in and out of cover and jump and dodge, it's not that kind of game. It's not. The game it is definitely more casual. It has a more fun, easy flow to it than, you know, say, you know, Gears of War 3. Shooting in the Gunstringer, it's handled with like a, kind of the Child of Eden painting scheme. So, you know, you paint over the targets, you flip your hand up, you know, kind of like you would with like a, you know, like your finger pistoling, you know, back in the Cowboys and Indians days when you were a little kid. And it shoots and it all works really well. So, you know, I mean, Gunstringer, it is definitely a kind of casual platforming experience, but it's a fun experience. Seems like it's a pretty well-polished game. I don't know that this demo impresses me enough to say, God, I want to buy that game. I think it says, you know, I want to check it out, maybe rent it. If I like it, then maybe pick it up on the cheap. It doesn't strike me as a game right now that I would want to pay full price for, especially because of all the other games coming out.
Mm.
Yeah.
It seems weird that it's coming out now. Like,
yeah. But, you know, hey, it's almost like, you know, and again, this is kind of one of the issues that Microsoft has with the Kinect, you know, peripheral is that they have really two audiences now they're catering to. So they're releasing games for the hardcore gamer, but they're also releasing games out or want to make sure they have games coming out for the Kinect audience as well, something for them to play. But yeah, so I checked out one other demo, and that was the old Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine.
Yeah.
So not that impressed. Not that impressed at all. I mean, it looked like it could have had promise, but I don't know if it is the universe itself that kind of bothers me, because these Marines just kind of wade right into the thick of combat, and there's no cover mechanic or anything like that. They're just too badass for that.
Yep, too badass.
Mm. Yeah. We've never heard that before, have we?
No, uh-uh. But in this instance, they need cover.
Ah, fair enough.
You know, I don't know. I was playing the game and I was having difficulty with keeping my character alive when I would wade into the masses of orcs. I mean,
agreed.
Yeah, it was cool when you first do it and you're like, oh, that, you know, everything, it looks nice, but then you get into the thick of the melee and suddenly you start having some camera issues, and then you notice that there is this strange difficulty curve on this game that, if you are taking on more than, say, two or three enemies, you're going to have some problems because they're hitting you from all different angles. And the only way you could basically get more health is by stunning an enemy and then doing an execution on them, which you can do fairly easily. The problem is, even as you're doing this execution to gain health back, four or five different enemies are behind you whacking away at you. And yep, the machine guns or the weapon, at least for the character in the demo, seemed really underpowerful. And almost like you didn't – I mean, it was almost like you couldn't use his gun.
Yeah, the gun was terrible. Like, and it didn't zoom in very much either. It was – oh, God. No,
so,
I didn't like it. And the melee combat just wasn't fluid at all. You didn't feel like a good contact when you hit the other people. Like, the big burly men just look stupid. Like, Warhammer, you can take it. I don't care. I don't know. Like, I just think it just really... It looked like, to me, it felt and looked like Transformers War for Cybertron, which is a bad thing because I hated that game. But, like, just the most mundane, boring combat with, like, even worse shooting. And I was like, brown levels. I was like, this is going to be great. Yeah.
So it's interesting to listen to your criticisms of this. I haven't played it. But, you know, you talk about there's no cover system because the hero is just too badass for cover. Well, there's another game series where the hero is too badass for a cover system that's been quite a hit. You talk about the big, silly, burly-looking men, but there's another game series with big, silly, burly-looking men that's been quite a hit. So it seems like they just...
What? I think you need to explain yourself.
I do.
Hannah Montana the game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because I'm not following what other game you're referring to.
Well, Halo, there's no cover system in Halo, right? You're just Master Chief, and you're slaughtering the entire Covenant by yourself.
Okay.
That's a hit?
Yes, but differences. In Halo...
I'm not saying you're wrong, Greg.
No, I hear you. I guess.
And then the other game is Gears of War, right?
Right.
Way overly steroided heroes in Gears of War. But, you know, so it just seems like Warhammer has tried to do some things that have been successful in the past, and they just missed the mark.
I think there's so much time in Gears of War, like making it feel great, like making it feel very tactile, and the cover system works perfectly.
Well, it's got the cover system.
The guns feel like, you know, meaty, and like the heat detection, and the way that the sounds when you pop a head on or curb stomp just feels so satisfying. That's not in Warhammer. In it at all.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played the game, but what I'm saying is it sounds like the makers of the game tried to take some previously successful game mechanics.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work.
Yeah, I mean, I see where you're going with this now. And yeah, I would agree. They definitely tried to go down some familiar avenues, but they definitely missed the mark. And I don't know it's because they missed the mark because they were trying to go down familiar avenues, or if they missed the mark because they just completely forgot what some of the things that those games did that made them successful. Because what I played in that demo was marginal at best. Mm. I mean, I'm guessing Bloodstone is probably a better game than that.
Well, I guess I'll not be playing that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. I don't even think it's worth your time for the demo. That's how poor it came across to me. But yeah, so that's it. That's me. That's
not a great demo.
Not a great demo. Well, hey, at this point, we are going to move into some new releases. All right, new releases this week on the Wii, Madden NFL 12. On the PS3, Body Count and Madden NFL 12. And then on the PSN front, a bunch of games coming out this week. Four Elements HD, The Baconing. The Baconing, isn't that the sequel or made by the same guys that made the, oh God, now I can't think of the stupid name of the game. Thongs, the Throngs of Evil. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. If Skull was here.
Come on, Death Bank?
Yes, thank you. Death Bank.
Thongs of Virtue?
Yes. There you go. I was going to say, if Skull were here, he would know instantly.
Hey, you don't need Skull. You got me for your obscure, random Alzheimer's moments.
Thanks. Also,
Battlefield.
Elevator Action Deluxe. Mortal Kombat Arcade Collection with a K. Shock Troopers. Ugly Americans I can't even say this right. Apocalypse Again. There you go. Ugly Americans. Yep. And then finally, World Heroes, all coming out on the PSN. And on the minis front, you've got Snowy the Bear's Adventures and Carnivore's Ice Age. There are demos for The Baconing and Ugly Americans, should you choose to download them for free. On to the Xbox 360 this week. The list is a little bit shorter. You've got Body Count and Madden NFL 12 coming to the retail shelves. And then The Baconing, Mortal Kombat Collection, and Rock of Ages coming out to Xbox Live Arcade. And demos for The Baconing should be out as well as, of course, the Space Marine demo and the Gunstringer demo. And on the deals of the week this week, you've got games like Gatling Gears, the full game of Metal Arms Glitch in the System, only 800 points for that. That's a pretty good game. Minerva's Den, the add-on for Bioshock 2, and New Revolution, the add-on for Borderlands. All discounted half price. And that is it for new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right, so news this week. Mike, I'm going to turn the reins over to you.
Booyah! Gears of War news now. Gears of War, Greg, excited?
I'm very excited for Gears of War 3.
Would you buy some DLC for it?
You know, I've bought pretty much every DLC for it in the past, so why not?
What if they slap a 30-season pass on there on your ass for all the DLC that's going to come out? Would you pay for it then?
I just might.
Yeah, so might I, sadly. Sorry. But Gears of War have announced a season pass for its downloadable content. If you know what this is, well, wake up, because it's 2011. LA Noire did it where you buy a Rockstar pass for about 900 Microsoft points or whatever that is. And then you get all the DLC that comes out. Pretty cool now, idea, but this is $30, man.
But Mike, here's the funny thing. So let's think back to our conversation. I think it was about 2 weeks ago. We got into I won't call it an argument, but we were going back and forth about episodic content and how you couldn't sell a game episodically. But that's kind of exactly what this is.
But it's not being labeled as it's not Gears of War 3 like epilogue, is it?
No.
It's DLC maps and horde maps.
Well, it is also single player. So the gist of what they said.
It's not like part one comes out first,
true.
Part two, then part three.
I will give you that. But
it's whatever's on the cutting floor.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we'll do that on DLC. That's what it is. Come on.
Cutting floor. Normally they're saying it would cost you $45 to get all the DLC planned. This is only going to cost you $30 to prepay it. It's an interesting idea.
It's an interesting idea.
I'm for it in terms of, you know, being offered. It's not something you have to do. You still can play multiplayer free, but this definitely would be a way to keep me vested in the game and keep me coming back and playing it. And
I mean, I've still got all my Gears of War.
Yeah.
So they've got my money, you know, but yeah. We'll see. I think I'm going to wait and see how much, if they do a deal on it, like the Rockstar Pass was like deducted to 800 points for a bit.
Right.
I'll see if they do that with it and see what the DLC is like as well.
I'm hoping they'll give us a little bit more detail on the DLC, because that definitely will be a selling point.
Do you really need more detail on the DLC?
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I think the two of you are of slightly better than average intelligence, and you just figured out what the DLC was going to be.
Yeah, but like, say if I play it, right, and I play the shit out of Beast Mode, but I'm not playing Horde Mode. I'm not playing it, right? And then they go, three Horde Mode maps. I'm like,
right.
And then and then more multiplayer maps. I'm like, you know what? I don't like the multiplayer now. I'm gone off it. Maybe I won't buy it. Or I'm addicted, and I'm like, I need more. Like, crap.
Well, I mean, if it's like the Gears of War 2 DLC, it'll be more maps, and those maps can be played multiplayer or Horde Mode or Beast Mode or whatever.
Yeah, but I'd be curious to see what you get for $30 or whatever.
Right.
Because if they say, yeah, we do three DLCs and you get two maps in each one of those DLCs and that's it, I'd be like, that is not worth $30 to me. But if they say, oh, you'll get like 20 more maps and exclusive game modes and all this shit, I'd be like, hey, you know, that'll be cool. Like, I'll get down with that. It's still trying to get money, I guess. It's making people keep their copy of Gears of War 3. That's what they want. And buy new copies as well. Yeah. I don't know. It's just the way the market is at the moment.
Right.
We have to lock it or lump it.
Well, see, and that's why I like this, because they're offering it out there, but it's not a you have to do this in order to play it online or anything like that. And so you can take the chance and pay $30 up front and buy it, or just, you know, as the DLC gets released, you know, buy it as you want. So I prefer this way of handling kind of the season passes, if you will, as opposed to, say, the EA kind of, you know, if you buy the game used, you have to pay $10 to play it type thing. I don't know. That just still bugs me. I don't know why it does, but it does.
It bugs me as well, and it bugs a lot of people.
I know. And the ridiculous part about it, to be honest, is that it's only if you buy the used copy that you're having to pay that $10, but it just feels cheap to me. I don't know why. But anyway.
Okay, well, that's enough of the Gears of War news. Yeah. Scamming bastards news now. Yes. GameStop pulls on live.
Yes, it is on live.
On live have been giving away free copies, little codes that come with the PC version of Deus Ex Human Revolution in GameStop. GameStop did not like this at all, so they sent an internal letter to their staff saying, get rid of those codes, because we don't know that shit getting out there. You get me? So yeah, they told people to get rid of the free code that was bundled in with the PC version of Deus Ex. This obviously got leaked out into the press, everybody kicking off about it. Greg, talk to me.
You know, it makes no sense to me. And I mean, you know, on one hand, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, you know, GameStop just announced their online service that was going to be competing with this. But that's still like a year, if not more, away from launching. So I can't see that really being a competitive technology at this point. And they allowed the Portal 2 copies to have the free Steam DLC code inside of it. All I can think of is that somehow maybe GameStop, you know, cuts deals with these companies. Maybe they had a deal in place with Valve to allow that code to be in there. But because they didn't know this OnLive code was going to be included in the box copy, they felt they had to do something about it. I don't know. It still makes no sense. I think they're doing disservice to the gamers. And, you know, honestly, if I was a PC gamer, I would never buy from GameStop. So,
no, I don't think many PC gamers do. Chris, talk to me.
That was no.
You want me to talk about PC gaming? I mean, really?
Really? Now, well, really? Why do you think they've done this?
I can't think of a good reason.
Carry on. I asked you. How rude. I was putting in.
Go ahead.
No.
Cut in. No, so it's like, to me, it's almost like they're taking advantage of the uninformed consumer, right? An informed consumer is going to go and realize that GameStop is, you know, what's a PC game nowadays? $50, right? I'm like, well, for $50, I get more from, say, Best Buy than I do from GameStop. So I'm getting ripped off at GameStop. But most consumers aren't informed. They're just going to go to the place where they always buy their games, and they're going to get ripped off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's a long-term thing. I think GameStop are trying to look at the long-term, the big picture, right? And
yeah,
they're thinking, oh, if people kind of get used to going on live, and then on live isn't just going to affect PC gaming, eventually it's going to affect console gaming, and if we promote that, that's going to stop people buying stuff out of our brick-and-mortar stores. So in the long term, we should not promote this thing at all.
Yeah, I
well, get and that. In the long term, on live isn't going to be their part of their competition, so they may as well start eroding them early.
Some version of online. I mean, the next Xbox could be it. We don't know. We talked about this many times, but there'll be some kind of on-live service very similar to it, or on-live itself, that will be the way we play games. That's it. That's the way it's going to be. And I think GameStop are saying, look, we need the next 10 years to not even mention that this exists, because people who play FIFA, people who, you know, like play Call of Duty, and that's all they buy. If we start including codes from on live and they discover this shit, they might think, oh fuck, like I can buy this a lot cheaper and get it instantly. They just can't promote it, basically. It's their enemy. It's like, you know, like one TV network promoting another TV. Like it just doesn't happen.
They're seeing the writing on the wall, and that maybe they're a little afraid of on live.
A little scared.
Interesting.
Chris Matthews needs 18 more achievements to get to back to 80% completion rate.
Oh,
breaking news, folks.
Cannot believe he is under 80%.
Jesus Christ. I mean, how does he sleep at night being under 80%?
I don't. I play games to try to get back to 80%.
Ha, ha, ha. But that's all the news, Greg.
Yeah.
Not a lot of news going on. Pretty bleak week for news.
It is.
I'm afraid.
It is. And, you know, I suspect the news will get less and less as we kind of move forward into the holiday season, and it's really just going to be about the releases. And so on that note, speaking of the releases, we wanted to kind of come up – well, we – I shouldn't say wanted to. We did. We came up with a topic this week that we're going to discuss now, but then look for community feedback for next week's show. And that's basically talking about kind of the biggest hits and the biggest flops for this coming holiday season. And yeah, so we came up with a list of, 15 games, but we tried keeping it to pretty much AAA games.
Yeah.
AAA.
And
AAA games that we kind of know that sell well or something like that.
Yeah.
We
don't have, you know, the 40,000 Space Marines of the world in there.
No, not in any particular order.
Right.
So
Mike, why don't you go through the list real quick? Let's talk about the games.
Number one, we got Resistance 3.
Okay.
PS3 exclusive that's coming out this fall. Number two, we got an Xbox 360 exclusive that's coming out this fall, which is Gears of War 3. We talked about that. We got Battlefield 3. Lots of threes in this list, by the way.
Yes, there are.
Battlefield 3, which is, you know, Battlefield. We all know that. Modern Warfare 3, self-explanatory. Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim is coming, apparently. People like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Saints Row 3 coming, or Saints Row the Third.
Right.
Crazy sandbox game that's looking pretty good. Batman Arkham City, which is the sequel to Batman Arkham Asylum.
Okay.
Assassin's Creed Retribution, some more Ezio again. Just Ubisoft saying, let's get as much out of Assassin's Creed as we can.
Right.
Uncharted 3 coming out for the PS3, of course. Forza 4 Xbox exclusive. Rage, that game that everybody's forgetting about, but will be big when it hits. Dead Island, that game I'll share my opinions about that later. Dark Souls, which is the sequel to Demon's Souls, where people convince themselves that it's fun to get kicked in the balls over and over again. And Need for Speed The Run.
Right.
Which is the new Need for Speed game, right, where you run the shit out of the car and get into another
one. Yeah, I guess if we really looked at this, technically we're only at 14 games, not 15. Misnumbering there. We jumped from 13 to 15 on the list.
Did we really?
We did. That's okay.
That's great.
California.
Yep, exactly. It's damn Californians. Okay, so here's the deal. We're talking three biggest and three of the biggest hits and three of the biggest flops.
So what we're saying is,
but
what we think will be the biggest critically acclaimed games.
Yes, highest rated.
What will get the high score on Metacritic or what you think will
not
be.
Not sales.
Exactly.
Not sales.
So, for example, Deus Ex, if this was on the list, that would be regarded as a very big hit,
right,
because it's doing very well, and it's also selling well, but
right,
it's doing very well in the critics.
Now, the other qualification for this is the games had to be released within the window of September 1st to December 31st. That was
part
of it. So that was the...
You know, somebody's going to be pissed. Like, oh, you
didn't I know.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, we didn't want blah, blah, blah in there because blah, blah, blah sucked.
Sucked balls.
All right, so let's...
It's probably a PC game anyway.
Let's
so
go with the three biggest hits first.
Three biggest hits.
So, Mike, why don't we start with you? Give us one of your biggest hits, and we'll just kind of keep going around the circle here, and each of us fire off a biggest hit until we get all three of our biggest hits off the table.
Okay, I'm going to give you what I think is one of my first biggest hits, and I'll tell you why I think it's going to be a biggest hit. Now, I think Gears of War 3 is going to be brilliant. I think it's going to be one of the best Gears of War games ever made. Because, right?
Yeah.
They finished this game, right, in the spring, because it was going to be ready to be out in the spring. But they delayed it for the beta, right? And Cliffy B said, like, if we didn't have a beta, then the multiplayer might not have been perfect because of Gears of War 2. We know what happened there.
Right.
So we had a beta to fix the multiplayer. This game has been done for months, right? And all they've been doing is tweaking it and tweaking it and tweaking it, right? And when you have that much time to tweak a game, Wolverine proves it, right?
Okay.
You will have a good game. I think Gears of War 3 is going to be one of the best Gears of Wars ever made.
Okay. Chris, did Gears of War 3 make one of your top three highest rated?
I didn't put it in the top three.
Okay.
Although I agree with Chenny's analysis. Although there's one thing about that, right? You say it's going to be one of the best Gears of War ever made. Well, let's remember there's only been three of them. So, really... They're all one of the best ones ever made, depending upon how long your list is.
Yeah.
But no, I think you're right, Jenny. So the first one that I wrote under my top three, and it's along a lot of the same reasoning. Well, actually, it's very different reasoning. But I put Skyrim in there. And I know Chenny's going to disagree with me because he doesn't like elves and arrows and dragons. But Oblivion dropped in 2006, I want to say, right?
Right.
So it's been 5 years since we've had an Elder Scrolls title. People are ready for a new Elder Scrolls title. Whether or not this one is going to have the level of polish of a game that's been done for 6 months and had some time to polish it, I don't know. But I think people are just ready for another Elder Scrolls title, and I think that they're going to like this one.
Okay. I can't argue with that reasoning. Mike, did that Skyrim make your top three?
No, it did make my top three, but I agree with Chris, because Skyrim's going to be great. Like, I know I don't like Orcs and Elves because they're weird and shit, but the thing that I have about with Skyrim, people are looking at it, right, and they're thinking, it's on a new engine, it's going to be faultless, right? Bear in mind, right, that these are the people that made like Fallout and Oblivion still. Regardless of their engine, I still think, right, that Skyrim will have similar problems to Fallout and Oblivion did. It will have bugs. It will have,
yeah,
you know, things going on, weird, yeah, shit going on, people floating in the middle of the sky like that happened to me in Fallout. I think that will happen, but people are going, new engine, that means it's perfect. No, because when you have that much shit going on in your game, right,
yeah,
a lot of things are going to go wrong. And with this Skyrim game, apparently they've got more shit going on, more shit's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
I still think it's going to be a great game. Like, I will guarantee that it will get like high scores, and maybe I wouldn't like it because, you know, I
will suddenly like elves.
I think you're right, Mike. I mean, if Oblivion and Fallout 3 and then Fallout New Vegas, which was basically Fallout 3.1, you know, have proven as anything, is that when you exactly like you said, when you try to put that much in your game, you're going to have some issues. Because even New Vegas, which was, you know, take Fallout 3, change the color palette a little bit, add some new items. Here you go.
Add some issues. Matthew Perry. Yeah. Add Matthew Perry in there. You know, put him in there.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Mike, I apologize. Did you say yes, Skyrim was in your top three, or no?
No, okay. I said no, it's not.
Just double check.
I do agree that it's going to be a good game, but I didn't pick it because, you know, right, it's all.
So, interestingly enough, neither one of your games so far have made my top three.
Crazy. I thought Gears of War would have been in there.
I think Gears of War is going to be highly rated, but I think at the end of the day, it seems like the critics are pretty harsh to it on its storyline, and I think it will pull it down just enough for it to where it won't crack that top three.
I think that they learned their lesson from the storyline from the second one.
Yeah.
They tried something. Cliffy B again said, acknowledge the fact that they tried something, it didn't work, didn't do it right. I think they'll hold back on that, and they'll give you it, not as much as like, hey, fuck yeah, and stuff, but they'll give you some drama in there and stuff. Yeah. But ultimately, it's going to be, let's kick some shit. And
we shall see. For my first one, I'm going to go with the obvious one for me out of my three. My first is Uncharted 3. I think it will continue on its path of critical acclaim.
Right.
Yeah. And did it make anybody else's list?
No. Didn't make my list. But again, no. I agree.
Okay.
It's going to be a good game. I think I was talking about this on Veteran Gamers, right? Playing Bloodstone, James Bond Bloodstone, made me want a James Bond game made by Naughty Dog. You know what I mean? I want them to make... Hello? I want Naughty Dog to make Uncharted, like a James Bond game. It would be so cool. As Duke said, right, Nathan Drake is basically James Bond, but a little bit more kind of cheekier, I guess. So it's
see, I think he's less James Bond. He's more MacGyver.
Well, he's a little bit Indiana Jones.
He's MacGruber.
Or Han Solo. Anyway, what I'm saying is like that mad action, you know. In Bloodstone, it's like there's so many cutscenes where I think I should be playing this.
Right.
Like, this is a Bond moment that I should be moving myself. In Uncharted, they very rarely take the control away from you, or they'll do it in such a way do a transition in such a way where it makes you feel that you still got a control, or it happens so fluidly, and I love that. Uncharted 3 is going to be brilliant,
yeah.
And the multiplayer I don't think is going to be as popular, but like, it's Uncharted 2 multiplayer is good. I think 3 is going to be good, but I don't think it's going to be like Call of Duty or anything. It's just going to be played by the fans, and that's it.
Okay, fair enough. Mike, let's go back. Give me your next highest rated.
Okay, so my next highest rated game is Saints Row the Third.
Saints Row the Third. So, Chris, did this make your highest rated?
I actually did put that in my list.
Interesting. God. So,
damn it.
So now we know what Chris thinks of The Phone as well as Saints Row the Third. This did not make my highest rated.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll talk about Saints Row while Chris is answering the phone.
Okay.
All right. So I think the reason why Saints Row is going to be a hit is because people are missing this genre of game. This genre of game has gone missing. In the PlayStation 2 era, it was going mad, like the sandbox craziness genre. GTA 4 changed it and kind of like toned it down a little bit with their version of it, right. And not many people are coming with. And I remember Saints Row 2 came out the same year as GTA, and everybody was saying, what is the point of Saints Row? It's not got Bob Hope. It's got nothing, right? And it came out, and it was a hit because GTA was so serious, right? And, like, Saints Row went, hey, we've got our own genre. We've, like, built our own, like, niche, and we should just go crazy with the third one, and that's what they've done. They have gone mental. I don't know if you saw the trailer, Greg, but they have gone insane with what they can do in Saints Row the Third.
They have done quite a bit. I mean, it definitely looks impressive. They have a lot of, you know, the kind of harkening back to the GTA San Andreas, if you will.
It is.
Where
yeah.
you just, I mean, you, all kinds of crap you can do.
But it does so much more. I mean, like the combos you can do, you know, the co-op,
right?
The vehicles, like that cat thing that sucks in people and shoots them out as a cannon, and you can put yourself in it. Like what the fuck? It's just absolutely carpet madness. It's crazy. I think people miss this type of game, and you advertise a game like Assassin's Creed or Uncharted, they are very easy to sell. Saints Row is one of these games where you just look at it and you go, yep, I want to play that game. Like, straight away, you just want to buy it and play it. So I think Saints Row the Third is going to be great, and it's going to do well.
All right, so since we know Chris had Saints Row the Third as his one of his highest rated as well, yeah. We'll go ahead and jump in for me. So I actually put Forza 4 as one of the highest rated. I think it is going to get extremely high marks.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. Look, a lot of these games are going to get great ratings.
I know. They're going to be getting great ratings.
It's the flops that are going to be very interesting. I mean, I could have said easily Forza 4, Uncharted, Batman Arkham City, Skyrim, Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, it's just our own choice, I guess.
Yeah, so Forza 4
Do you think it's going to be better than 3? Do you think it's going to do better than 3?
I think it's going to blow 3 out of the water.
Mm.
And that, to me, is saying a lot, but I think they're doing a lot in there, and it's working, and it's working well. So,
I think Microsoft have got a little gem with Forza. Like, Gran Turismo is such a slow, workflow, you know. Like, they must, like, take breaks a lot over there in Gran Turismo because it takes them so long to make. Like, I've done the tires, I'm going on break, right? Forza is just like a machine, you know. Every 2 years, 2 years is a nice gap. I think we all agree on that. Like when you wait 2 years for a game, it's a nice gap.
You're not like
the Assassin's Creed. They're coming every year. It's a bit of a nuisance, but they're still good. But like, you know, they're pumping out the Forzas, and that's a really good Xbox exclusive that I don't think many people talk about.
So, yeah. So, Chris, was Forza 4, and Mike, I should ask, was Forza 4 on either one of your lists?
No.
Okay. Well, let's finish it out. Mike, give us your last highest rated game.
Okay.
Another game you think highest rated.
So, I mean, I could have easily said, you know, Batman. I think Modern Warfare 3 would be fine. Right. I'm going to say Rage. Rage.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, not a lot of people are paying attention to it like they didn't with the Deus Ex. Id Software have been out the game a little bit, Greg. You know,
yeah.
They're the old guys in the game, but they know what they're doing. They have a lot of money, you know. They spent a lot of time. I think Rage is going to be a hit. I think people are going to be playing Rage and raving about it. So yeah, I think Rage is going to do well.
I'm right there with you. This actually was the final game for me on my top three. Chris, did it make your highest list?
No.
Okay.
Ooh,
so there's a mystery game available. But yeah, I would agree. Rage to me is just every time I see it.
My dog does.
Dog totally agrees. I could hear that in the tone. It impresses. It just, the story looks like it's coming together nicely. The world has come together nicely. They've got a good selection of weapons, you know, varied enemies. I mean, it just all really feels like this is, it feels like this is really id's return to kind of the crown, if you will, because they've kind of been missing for a little while. You know, id Software, you hold them in high regard, but they haven't really put out that huge game in a while. And I think this is them coming back and just kind of kicking the door down saying, hey, we're here.
What was that last game? Like Quake 4, was it?
I believe so. It was Quake Wars, I think, was the... Oh, no. I don't know if they did that. I'm trying to remember if id actually made that game or if that was filtered out to somebody else. But anyway, regardless, it's been a while.
It has been a while.
Yeah.
It has been a while.
All right, Chris, what is your final game? Final highest rated game?
So the last one I put on here was Arkham City. My dog likes Arkham City too.
Everybody likes Batman.
Who doesn't like Batman, right?
Batman.
Except maybe the Joker doesn't like Batman very much.
No.
Well, but, he does. No, he does like him because without him, he'd be very lovely.
That's right. Point, counterpoint, touche.
Uh huh.
Mr. Freeze doesn't like Batman very much.
Penguin definitely doesn't like him.
Definitely not.
No.
Catwoman can't make up her mind what she thinks about Batman.
She's a bright cop.
It's a love hate thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I put this one on here because I was kind of thinking along some analog lines. So Assassin's Creed 1 came out, and some people liked it. A lot of people didn't. They found it very dull. But then Assassin's Creed 2 came out, and everybody was like, oh, okay, so this is what they meant to do the first time.
Yeah.
Right? Well, Batman Arkham Asylum came out, and everybody liked it.
Uh-huh,
I think... In the sequel, they're going to be able to take sort of that, you know, everybody liked it, we'll take what everybody liked, and we'll make more of it and do some tweaks here and there. So I think with the second game around, I think that's just going to be that much better, my opinion.
Okay.
Whatever it's worth.
I think it's that the problem with making a great game first off is that they got shit to prove.
That's true. Yeah, they do have to keep it going.
To it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But that was the reasoning behind it. Even though I put it in my top three, I canceled my pre-order for it. and that's because I am not pre-ordering any single player only games with the exception of Mass Effect 3. Single-player only games, I'm going to wait for a price drop because games are expensive.
No, can't argue with that. That's not bad logic. All right. Late entry. I like it, Mike. We did forget. Zelda Skyward Sword.
Yeah. It's not going to make either one
Ta-da.
Of those. So.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to make any of our lists, but it certainly is worth mentioning that that probably should have been on this
just
list.
Yeah, just to make Steve happy. He's like, what about Skyward Sword?
I know. I've completely forgotten. Zelda's coming.
What about three random Japanese DS games that I'm excited for?
We'll mention those in the bottom three.
Skyward Sword, you know what Zelda Skyward Sword is going to be like? It's going to be like every fucking Zelda game that's ever been released. Bang. Bye. Right.
All right, let's go to our bottom three.
Bottom.
So, Chris, why don't you start us off? What's one of the games you think is going to be the worst when it comes to Metacritic score?
This is controversial.
Yes, because
I like it.
Let's think about this, though, by the way. Worst in this category is still probably pretty good.
You know what I mean? Fair enough.
The thing is, right, a game that's coming out that could look good, read well, and you don't know. I mean, don't forget, Medal of Honor. Right, last year people were thinking that's going to beat Call of Duty, right? and it came out, and it was shit. So it can happen. It can happen.
It can. Well, give us some controversy.
The first game on my bottom three list will probably get us all excommunicated from the Gaming for the Elderly website.
Uh-oh.
But I'm putting Modern Warfare 3 on the first of my bottom three lists.
Wow.
And here's why. One, we get Call of Duty every year.
True that, true that.
True.
I think a lot of people are – the magic is starting to go away. For a lot of people, the magic is still there. Two, the couple of in-game footage clips that I've seen look like Modern Warfare again.
Okay. They should call it that. They should name
Modern
it that.
Modern Warfare again.
Yeah. So, you know, like it looked like, you know, really exciting, fast-paced gameplay, but it was very, very sort of samey. You know, you got shot, the screen got covered in ketchup. You know, you zoomed in, you zoomed out, you shot guys. So I'm sure they'll make some tweaks and improvements to it, and I'm sure it'll be a brilliant game. But I think because this is going to be the first Modern Warfare title not to be published by it's still going to be published by Infinity Ward, just not by the same guys that used to be Infinity Ward.
Some of them, not all of them.
It's kind of like the Baltimore Ravens. You know, they used to be the Cleveland Browns, but they're not. So they're not really Baltimore. They're not really Cleveland. They're just sort of there. Anyway, so this is going to be published by the Baltimore Ravens. So I think people are going to be overly critical of it as it comes out. And I think that's going to lead. I think that's going to lead to sales are still going to be through the roof. I'm certain of it. Online people playing it are still going to be through the roof. I'm certain of it. But I think the reviews might be down a little bit.
Okay. All right. Okay. Fair enough. Right. Did this make your list, Mike?
It did not. It did not make my list.
It did not make my list either. Mike, why don't you give us one of your bottom three?
I'm going to start with my tame one. This is not controversial at all. I just don't really have any investment in this series. I think Resistance 3 is going to be a bit meh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to do anything special. I don't think it's going to take blow anyone away. PS3, official PS3 kind of reviews might be a little bit more favourable, I guess. I watched this game. It looks like every other third-person shooter I've ever seen with Aliens. So, no, not excited for it. No, I think it's going to be bleh.
Okay. Chris, did this make your list?
No. I didn't put Resistance 3 on there, but I think Mike's on track there.
I think it's going to be a close contender to the bottom three. I just think it is going to, at least from what I've been seeing preview-wise, that kind of thing, I think it's going to do enough to keep it out of the bottom three. So it didn't make my list either. So let's see. For me, bottom three, well, I'm going to go with, I think, one of the more obvious ones, and that is Need for Speed the Run.
You're wrong, Greg.
No, I think I am right. I think I am right in a big way. I think this game is going to have some interesting ideas that a lot of people are going to say just that in the reviews, that there were some interesting ideas in Need for Speed the Run, but at the end of the day, the execution of the game and the overall feel just didn't measure up.
No, I think you're kind of half right. I think that, like, it's going to have a lot of ideas, but essentially it's going to be very boring and repetitive, right? And just a lot of cutscenes and quick time events, right? Saying that, I would still enjoy that because it's basically Uncharted in a car, right? Where it just grabs the camera from you and just throws you off a cliff or something, and then you press some triangle X, L1, and then you get into another car. Fine. I think the only thing that could make it interesting is if they did branching paths. So if you didn't grab a ledge, you fell and you went down to this thing. I doubt they'll do that. But yeah, I kind of half agree, but I think I'll like that. I think it'll do this, kind of okay reviews.
I will throw this out there. This wouldn't have been in my bottom three had we included Driver San Francisco on this list.
That game
just isn't going to be good enough to be considered for this list.
Well, it was on the list, but we took it off because even though I think I might like it, I thought, nah.
Yeah. All right, Chris, back to you. Give us your next on your bottom three.
Next on my list of my bottom three games, I put Dead Island, because I think there's going to be, I think there's a lot of build up to this game, and I think in the end it's just going to be another zombie game.
Yeah,
and it's going to be kind of a letdown.
I'm with you there, Chris. I'm with you there, Mike. Are you on board with this as well?
I am on board with Dead Island. And I want to be wrong. My next two choices, I want to be wrong. But the thing is with Dead Island is it had a great kind of announcement trailer, and it's been downhill from there. The characters aren't very interesting. Apparently, like, there's lots of like menus and pop-ups and logos in the screen. Driving isn't great in it, apparently. The graphics are okay-ish. I think there's going to be another one of like an interesting idea. I think maybe some reviews will be good. But ultimately, I think a lot of decisions they make will kind of make the game, leave a game, like I say, a taste in people's mouths with the game. It's like, ah, it's not as great as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, so this is the first game we've all agreed on.
Yeah.
It's being part of the bottom three. Now, I'll throw this out there, too. We actually
I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think we're all hoping we're wrong. Yeah. But, this is a game we actually consider from cutting from this list. But because of all the press it's been getting, we decided to keep it on the list.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a relatively unknown developer, and I just – everything I'm seeing –
Their track record isn't great either.
Yeah.
I mean, the Warriors are okay, but they're not
– No.
I don't think it's going to live up to the hype there again.
So, yeah. Dead Island, unanimously in the bottom three. Mike, what was one of your next – or I guess – That would be your last of your bottom three, since we all agreed on this one.
All right. Well, when I say this, you got to stick with me.
Okay.
Right. Okay. And you got to listen to my reasoning. And I hope I'm wrong. I really do. Battlefield 3.
You know. Okay. I don't have it on my bottom three. I don't think Chris has it on his bottom three either.
Nope.
I kind of half believe it, but for the sake of the podcast, let's say I'm totally believe it, alright?
Okay.
So, Battlefield 3. Now, I think the multiplayer is going to be fine, right? I think the multiplayer is going to be brilliant, it's going to be great, people are going to play it, it's going to be awesome, we're going to have community dates on it, great. Single player, problem.
Yep.
Battlefield single players aren't that great.
Yeah.
They're pretty boring. What they've shown off, they showed like 5 minutes in a fucking tank, right? And you're like, okay, it looks great. What's going to happen? Modern Warfare has the advantages. It's a massive roller coaster ride. Battlefield 3 isn't. Now, for simulation army guys who like Red River, for example, not a problem. I think the pace of the single player in Battlefield 3 will affect reviews. Therefore, I think it will be a little bit more of a flop than people think.
So let me ask you this: when you're talking about pacing, you think it's going to be more like a Red River, really slow pace, or do you think it's going to be more like Battlefield 2, where the single player is just a series of bot matches?
I think it's gonna it's not really know what it's going to be, what it wants to be, right? Because what it wants to be is Modern Warfare, kind of. But at the same time, they don't want to be too much like Modern Warfare because people will say, it's like Modern Warfare, it's not Battlefield. So they have to kind of juggle it. So there'll be moments where it's a scripted event and, like, you can't control what's going on, or, like, your character dies, like, every fucking first person shooter that goes on there. And then there'll be those moments where in Red River where you're just kind of being escorted around or in a convoy and stuff like that. I think it's going to be... when I say pacing, what I mean is it's not when the slow moments come that like, and then the big action moments come, it just feels right. You know what I mean? It's like, yes, I'm ready for this action moment, and then this action moment should stop when I start to kind of get like overwhelmed or a little bit bored of shooting everyone. And then, you know, I don't think that's going to happen in Battlefield 3. I think it's going to put a lot of people off. You know, I really think the single player is going to struggle. They have got nothing to prove. Battlefield Bad Company 2 single player was not that great. Bad Company 1 was okay-ish. Like, it was okay, all right? And that's because they had funny characters in it, which they won't in 3. And the other ones are just non-existent. So I don't know what they're going to do. Like, they've done Mirror's Edge before, an okay single player game, you know?
Right.
Not a great story. Like that. This is more justification of it. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
Now, I think you are right in that Battlefield 3 is going to get dragged down by its single player in terms of its scoring. But I my gut tells me it's going to do enough on the multiplayer side, and people are going to be wowed enough that it'll keep it from being in the bottom three.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Bad Company guys are doing fine. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're great games, and people just kind of ignore that the single player exists in Bad Company. You know, especially two. Like, I don't give it I can't remember any of it, and I've played it. I can't remember any of it. It's so dull. All right. So, maybe it won't be a problem, but I think reviews are expecting the single player to be as great as a Modern Warfare, and I don't think it will be.
Okay. Fair enough.
Sorry,
Chris,
everyone.
Let's get your last bottom three out of the way.
So the last game on my bottom three list, I put Assassin's Creed Revelation. I think they're going to go...
Is it Revelation or Retribution?
Whatever it is.
Okay.
I just put ACR. I think that they're going to wear it out. So, you know, along the same lines of what I was talking about with Batman Arkham Asylum, so Assassin's Creed 1 came out, and everybody was like, okay, there's some potential here, but this is dull. Assassin's Creed 2 came out, they fixed all that. Assassin's Creed Brotherhood came out, and they sort of built on Assassin's Creed 2, and they added a pretty innovative multiplayer that took a lot of people by surprise.
Damn, son.
But I think, you know, Assassin's Creed, whatever it is, they're just it's just going to come off as we're trying to cash in. You know, here is some more of Ezio because everybody likes Ezio, and I do think he's an interesting character, much more interesting than Altair.
Who is back, by the way, for this one? Altair is
yes.
back in this one.
Yes, he is. So I don't know. Maybe they'll surprise me. I want to be wrong because I like the Assassin's Creed series. I was one of the minority who actually enjoyed the first Assassin's Creed. But I just think they're going to – they're cranking them out too fast.
I would agree. I'm with you on this. I threw it into my bottom three. I think it's going to suffer from the critics are going to hammer it for being a lot more of the same and not enough new and different.
But the thing is, a lot more of the same isn't. I agree that
it's not always a bad thing.
It might affect reviews, right? But if it was the same as Brotherhood, I think Brotherhood is one of the best Assassin's Creed that's ever been made.
No, I totally agree. Agree. Brotherhood.
Only been three of them.
Right, Brotherhood. Brotherhood was good, but now you know. I mean, I haven't seen and or heard anything that makes me think this game is going to be anything different than what we've already seen.
No, I don't think it will. I think you're right. I don't think it will be different. I think it will be more of the same. But for me, like, that's fine. But yeah, it might affect reviews. I agree.
Now,
I think another thing that might maybe I am making this up, but somewhere in my head, Assassin's Creed was kind of initially sold as a trilogy. You know, there was going to be three of them. And it was like, we're going to move forward in time every time we brought out a new one. Now we're going to have the third game that's set in Italy in the 1600s, or is it 1500s? Anyway, you know, Renaissance Italy. So it's like, all right, are we ever going to actually finish the story? Or are you just, because it is kind of, there is kind of an interesting story going on there with, not only with what's happening with Ezio and Altair, but also with what's happening with Desmond in the present day. So it's like, are we gonna finish it, or is Desmond just gonna lay in a chair for the rest of his life pretending to be ancient people? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was a trilogy. I don't know, but they have talked about Assassin's Creed 3. They definitely talked about it.
Right.
And I think that how they see it is each numbered Assassin's Creed is going to be an introduction to a new character in the past.
Yeah, see, and I think I think the story, actually, the way it's progressed, it's like the next game should be, you know, in present day or in the future, and kind of, you know, getting some of that, you know, the resolution to the storyline and going into, you know, the future, if you will.
Yeah.
And the problem is, the future has guns. It doesn't play well with the game mechanics of Assassin's Creed, and so they kind of can't.
They could steal. I think if they stole the mechanic from Splinter Cell Conviction, they could make it work. Okay. You know, and they both properties belong to Ubisoft, so why can't they?
Who knows? Maybe Sam Fisher is part of Assassin's Creed.
Snap. But yeah, I mean, you both played Brotherhood, right, and finished it?
Yeah,
Oh. The way Desmond's story wrapped up at the end of Brotherhood, it was like, oh, something big is about to go down. So if Retribution comes out and nothing big goes down, that's going to put a lot of people off the series, I think.
I mean, like, they have to extend, and I think they will give, I mean, the endings to the Assassin's Creed have been quite interesting, you know, and I think that, like, they will answer some questions and, like, give you some more. I do agree that they are bleeding this out a little bit. They have to be very careful. I wouldn't mind if we had to wait 2 years for the next Assassin's Creed. Like, I don't think anybody would mind now. Because it gives you that gap, like we talked about earlier. It gives you a nice gap. You wait for this Batmans and the Uncharted and the Forzas, and it's nice that you like have this 2 year gap. That's why people don't like Call of Duty anymore. It's just annoying.
Right, and they are just bleeding this out too much. Yeah.
You know what else you didn't? Oh, never mind. It's not coming out in your time frame. Never mind.
That's okay. So I want to throw out an honorable mention because there was another game that was originally in my bottom three, and I switched it out based when we changed out our criteria. I think Saints Row 3 is going to tank
in sales.
Yes.
I could see it tanking in reviews far before I would see it tanking in sales.
I think it is going to get bum-rushed in sales.
I think
it is going to flounder. It is sandwiched in between Battlefield 3, Modern Warfare 3, Skyrim.
It's a different genre. Right?
Yeah, but you know what? It's the same pocketbook.
I don't think the sales are going to be like Modern Warfare 3 standard, right? I think the sales are going to be decent, like Deus Ex decent, all right? I don't think they're going to be – I don't think it's going to tank at all. I think you're completely wrong.
Yeah, that's okay.
There's no other game like Saints Row at the moment. Like, give me another game like Saints Row that's coming out this fall.
There is no open sand world, you know, game at all. I totally agree with you in that regard. There's no GTA clone out.
No, the Batman's like an open world, I guess.
And you could say Assassin's Creed is too. You could say Assassin's Creed is to a degree as well.
It's just like you put that shit on an advert of like that guy. Like slamming someone's face in the curb and then like posing. You put that in an advert, kids are going to buy this shit. No problem. Like, Mom, can I have it now before I scream this house down?
I beg to differ. I think the kids are going to flock to Modern Warfare 3. They're going to go for Battlefield 3. They're going to go for Gears of War 3. You know, Uncharted is going to attract people. And Saints Row the Third is going to, you know, it'll have some decent sales because it's coming out in the holidays, really, so it's almost like it can't help but have some decent sales.
We can't measure the sales until, like, January 2012, but I think it's going to do decent sales. I'm not saying through-the-roof sales, but, like, good enough to spur on, like, THQ and make them feel like they did a good job.
Yeah, and also, you know, from a rating standpoint, it is not going to be, I think, at least my side of it, I don't think it's going to be at the top. I think it's going to be in the bottom half. Metacritic.
On the writing, like Metacritic-wise. I think it's going to do really well.
I think it's going to do far worse than you think. I think people are going to hammer on it for the story.
Wow. Oh, yeah, the story's going to be stupid.
The game mechanics will be the thing that is going to be highly touted.
Greg,
the only thing that's going to be highly touted.
Greg, like, I am no way going to defend the story in Saints Row, because in Saints Row 2, you can change the sex of your character from male to female because it's a continuing on from Saints Row 1. And they go, the only way they acknowledge that you've looked different is they go, if you've done something, you look different. I'm a woman now. Oh, cool. Whatever. Let's fucking fuck shit up. Yeah. Like, the story's going to be ridiculous, but, you know, fun.
Anyway.
It knows what it is. It's very aware of what kind of game it is.
I don't think it knows what it wants to be. all right. That's it. Those are our top threes and our bottom threes, and we're going to keep all this stuff for prosperity's sake, and then once the holiday season's over, we will go back and take a look at Metacritic Yeah, and we'll go through and see how right and how wrong we were.
We'll find out that Driver San Francisco was game of the year, and it did 5 billion sales.
Pretty much. No. Yep. No. Bye-bye. All right. It is, in fact, time for our show break. We have gone long enough. We're going to take a break, and when we come back out of the break, we will hit our question of the week, which, God willing, we'll go fairly quickly, get some community feedback, and get out of here.
Life's funny, the way it throws stuff at you. Just when you think you've got it made and everything's just hunky-dory, something happens. You kind of have to roll with it. But all around the world, kids are dealt some pretty rough cards from time to time, and they can't just roll with it. Cancer doesn't just up and go away. Serious injuries don't just heal themselves. Fortunately, when things get serious for kids, there's a Children's Miracle Network hospital waiting to help. The third annual Extra Life 24-hour video game marathon provides direct support for the Children's Miracle Network Hospital in your town. And we need your help to ensure local kids have the best care and equipment standing by, just in case life throws itself in harm's way.
Visit tinyurl.com/VGHubTeam2011 to find out how you can help make a difference by sponsoring or joining your friends at the sites and shows of VGHub.net in this October's Extra Life Marathon. Thank you.
Play games. Heal kids.
And we're back from the break. And it's kind of a noisy room in here, you know? Wow. Everybody chirping off, wanting to get their own little bit in.
Blah, blah, blah.
Chirp, chirp.
Which is tweet, tweet. Fitting. Because, yeah, it's community mailbag time.
Community mailbag.
Dun, 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 dun,
so
dun.
we were searching for something to ask. And of course, not only did we put up the question for last week on last show, but then we of course forgot to post it out to the community, which is always good for feedback. But we did get a few responses to basically the question of, for the next generation of consoles, what is more important to you? Reasonable cost with a marginal performance increase or a greater performance increase with a higher entry cost? Kind of, you know, almost that 360 versus PS3 question. But, you know, the way I look at it is maybe now we're looking at more of a Wii U versus a next Xbox or a next PS4, if you will. So, Mike, what matters to you? Next generation, it's upon us, it's coming.
If we got to jump a generation, I think, you know, better performance, more cost, because... anything else like the Wii U and what Nintendo's model has been with the DS feels like a bit of a let's bleed this shit dry, which is what Kinect is basically. Okay. I think if we got to jump a generation, if we truly call next generation, you know, we got to pay a bit more for the consoles. That's just like what people expect. That's what I kind of expect.
Let me ask you this question. So what is that cost barrier for you? Where does that next generation console become too expensive?
I have only bought one console on release ever.
Okay.
And that was the Nintendo 64, right? Cool. I never bought an Xbox on release, never bought an Xbox 360 on release, PS3. So I don't really know a lot about launch prices. Like, I just wait. I usually wait about 6 months. Till I kind of, because I mean this generation, like I've been got back into games in a big way. But before,
right.
I was a gamer, but like I never really like actively took much notice of them. So I don't know if I can hold it this time. Like if it's released as soon as I don't know, maybe 350. Like I don't really know the market.
£350.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah, what did the Xbox 360 launch at? Do you remember?
Probably
about 350. I would guess.
$400. $399.99 on November 21st, 2005.
Okay, which I think would be about £350.
Probably.
No, dude. Be like £300.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. I guess I should. So remember, we had two systems at launch. The Pro system or whatever with the 20 gig hard drive was $400. The Core system with no hard drive was $300.
Got it.
So really, the prices on the Xbox, if you think about it, have not changed.
Not that they really haven't. So, Mike, what? I mean, if I said to you it's going to be 400 pounds, is that a deal breaker?
Yeah, that's a. I won't be buying that. I wouldn't buy that. No.
It was 350, 300, maybe.
For FYI, by the way, Xbox 360 was released on the 2nd of December 2005, and it was released the most expensive, like the kind of pro version, was £280.
Okay.
Yep. So for £280 to 300, yeah, I would buy that. Like, yeah.
I'd okay. Be Chris, what about you? What is it for you?
What is the price break?
Well, price point. Sure, we can. I mean, you know, we'll make that part of the conversation. What would be your price barrier? But are you maybe wanting to see better performance? You know, and maybe be at the top. You know, higher cost. Or would you be okay with just kind of a marginal increase? Maybe every game ran at 60 frames per second at 1080p.
You know, here's the thing, right?
Right.
It's been 6 years since we launched the Xbox. Well, almost 5.5 years since we launched the Xbox 360.
Right.
And it's been, what, when did PS3 drop? 2006?
2006.
So it's been 5 years since we dropped the PS3. Computer hardware improves so rapidly that there's no reason that the next generation of consoles shouldn't have a huge jump in performance and keep about the same price. For me, I would say maybe another $100 for an Xbox, maybe. And that would be like the Xbox that comes with all the bells and whistles.
Right.
Because if you get, so then you're talking about $500. And with a little bit of savvy, you can build a pretty good gaming PC. Not the greatest gaming PC, but a pretty good one for about $500. And you know I'm not a PC gamer.
Right.
But as I said in the forum post, I think if these consoles start approaching the $600, $700 point, you're going to start pushing gamers back towards the PC. Because they're not going to pay $700 for a PC that they can't upgrade.
Agreed.
So, I mean, the PS3 released at $500 and $600 for the two launch SKUs, and they didn't sell very well.
Well, see, and that was,
as I recall.
And to me, as I look back at that launch, to me, that was a case of a, you know, it was a marginal performance increase over what the Xbox 360 could do, but it was a much higher cost.
Oh,
so
yeah.
To me, that was not, you know, there wasn't the value there.
Right.
I'm kind of with both you guys. I mean, I want to see the greater performance, and I'm willing to maybe pay a little bit for that. I think 500 would really be pushing it for me. 500 US would really be pushing it for me. I think 400 for a next gen console would be about in the wheelhouse for me to say, you know what, I'll make that purchase. But you know, it would be a stretch. You know, I mean, money's tight these days, especially now, right now in the economy we're in. I think we're all kind of thinking about the tightening, you know, belt. But
I think the next Xbox or whatever PS3, I'm not going to buy straight away because...
Well, we want to make sure it actually is not faulty.
that's the thing. Like, getting it on release day is a hassle. You have to pre-order it. And then, like, there's this big thing when the 360 was released, right, where people from this store called Woolworths, which is no longer around anymore because it went down, they put pre-orders down. And Woolworths at Christmas have a lot of temporary staff, right?
Right.
And then, like, all these temporary staff stole all the Xboxes, right? And, they didn't steal them, like, but they crossed out people's names on the pre-order list, put their own names, right?
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of people who pre-ordered them legitimately didn't get them. And, like, man, all that hassle, and, like, then it might break, or early systems are, you know, like, electronic devices, like, that are put on mass retail, like, the early ones are usually not that great, you know? Like, it takes, like, a few revisions or something, so... I'll just wait and see, and maybe like the first price drop, I'll get one. But yeah, I don't think I'm gonna get one straight away. My Xbox 360 does me okay. I've got a massive backlog, Greg.
I know you do.
I'm not gonna get through this till 2014, so I'm okay for the next 3 years or something.
All right. Well,
before we move on, here's a random factoid.
Random factoid.
The highest price paid on eBay for the pre-sale of a PlayStation 3. What do you think it was, Greg? Don't look.
$1,000.
Okay, Chin.
I'm gonna say lower. No, actually, Americans are crazy. Right, I'm gonna say higher. 1,000. Fuck it, 2,000.
It was actually $17,500.
Holy shit!
Yeah, man, that's a car.
That's ridiculous.
Not a bad car either. No. Anyway, yeah. Sorry.
That was a good fact. So clearly,
good.
Some people are willing to pay that high entry cost.
Some people have some cash.
Thanks for that random factoid.
I'm trying to imagine paying $17,500. I mean, you could buy a car and three nice gaming PCs for that guy.
Dude, that console needs to be able to like do sexual favors for me.
whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Mine already does.
Okay. Hey, Twitter. We had a few tweets this week. One related, two unrelated. Chris, did you want to say something?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Tourette's.
It's okay. I'm going to actually save two of those tweets for later in the show.
For later.
Wow. Yes. But for now, we will talk about Mr. Twister 65, Scott Patterson. He said at reasonable cost, marginal performance increase. A little surprising, but he was saying, you know, I don't need all that huge performance increase. Just give me some performance increase period, and keep the cost down. So somebody out there being a little more budget conscious, and I can't disagree with that line of thought, to be honest. Especially, but again, I think that also probably is a factor in when you bought your current console. If you just bought your current console, I am sure nobody that just bought a console is saying, God, I can't wait for the next gen console to come out, make it really expensive. But, you know, if like, most of us here that you bought a few years back, you know, more than three, then you're probably at that point where you're looking forward to a new console and you're okay with spending some dollars for that. Chris, I know we had a forum response, and I say a forum response just because, again, it was my fault.
We had a forum response. We did. So well done, Ian, for being quick on the draw and responding. And he says, on the subject of reasonable price or big boost in performance, but I want both. he wants to have both a new console with much higher specs, and I'm assuming the implied rest of that sentence, and a reasonable price. I suppose if pushed, then the current 360 price plus 25%, which I think is about what I said. Anyway, I don't see any reason for vastly higher costs as the next-gen consoles are really current high-range PCs cut down. I would say that they're current high-range PCs cut way down. But, yeah, I think he's saying kind of the same thing that I was saying, and so I agree with him. Well said, sir. Well said.
Boom. Done. Mike, why don't you go ahead and read off our lone email this week?
I will. I'll do that. But I just read the news that Rockstar have said – Rockstar News now that they've said that Max Payne is going to be their next big game coming up. So expect to hear a lot of news from Max Payne in the next month. Rockstar always focus on one game. They release a game and they go, right, what's our next game? We've got three in the making – already. So next is Max Payne. Then the one after that, I reckon it will be like Agency or
Agent,
something.
Yeah.
Then the one after that, it'll be GTA 5. So anyway, Eric Prochowski emailed the show and he said, hey guys, Duke here, pounding out a quick email from my laptop since my Mac Mini is having the demons exorcised out of it before they melt the thing into a pancake. 1 week, it's my phone line. Then the next, it's my disk drive. Then it's my exhaust fan. Damn you, AT&T and Apple.
Damn you.
Evil companies.
All right, so getting close to finishing L.A. Noire. I also got Baldur's Gate 2 recently. And even though Chinny was all, ooh, you're just playing it with rose-tinted glasses, he's full of bollocks because I'm playing it for the first time now. So what the fuck are you saying, Chinny? Step over this line and say that. I'll kick your butt at Nintendo. Simpsons quote, apparently. Sorry, Duke. He's probably going, what? You didn't know that? Telephone, really?
Hey, Baldur's Gate 2 was a great game, just by the way.
I was saying, oh, maybe you're looking at me with rose-tinted glasses because it was a long time ago. Anyway, because he was talking about old BioWare games. I was like, well,
got it.
You know. Right. So, Duke's angry now because I don't know what that Simpsons quote is.
She's going to hate you.
But anyway, he goes on to say, I'm waiting for Gamefly to send me Deus Ex, but they're taking a real long time. At the supermarket today, I passed one of them red box rental machines, and they had it for the PS3. I should have got it, but then I thought it would be ridiculous to get it, and then Gamefly sends me as well. Crazy. I'll play it one of these days, but based on what folks are saying, I don't need to kill myself tracking down a copy right away. Now, Driver San Francisco, on the other hand.
Crap.
You got a cough there, Greg.
Yeah. Sorry, my bad.
Okay, I'm going to wrap this up. Oh, wait, you probably asked some question for the community. Let me find that. Brackets, searches, gamingfortheelderly.com. Well, it looks like you've stopped posting the question on the website, and I can't remember what you asked at the end of last week's show, so let me ask you a question. What's your favourite pen? Mine is the Zebra F301 steel case fine tip pen. Good solid feel in the hand.
Zebra?
Yeah.
You said Zebra.
Well, of course Chinny said Zebra. That's how they pronounce it over there.
All right, sorry, I forgot. I was amongst Americans. Mine is the Zebra F301 steel case fine tip pen. Good solid feel in the hand. Innuendo. Steady ink flow, easily refilled, and none of that gel ink bollocks. Whoever came up with that gel ink crap is pants. Pants, I say. Anyway, I hope you're at the end of an awesome show. And now I'm off to eat some. What? What's that?
La vecchia di chi... I don't even know.
Cheese.
Some kind of cheese.
Ooh, lols, Duke out. So, favorite pens, everyone?
I'm going to disappoint here. I'm really just okay with the old Bic blue...
I was going to say Bic.
Pen.
I always have Bic pens.
Give me the blue Bic pen with the pen cap that has the little, the flange that breaks off and
it's not really
a flange. I don't know what that's called.
I always chew the thing at the end, bottom that comes out. I always chew that.
Yep.
Can't go wrong with Bic pens.
No, can't.
They're razor, though. I tried shaving my face with one of their pens. It didn't work.
Well, I'm going to agree with you in spirit. I'm not a fan of the Bic pen because I have to pay for those, but I am a fan of the Skillcraft pen. Which is the Army's version of the Bic pen that I can get for free. I'm a fan of those.
Free pens definitely are nice.
I love free pens.
Considering the frequency with which pens are lost.
Yeah. You know what I don't like are most trade show pens. If you ever go to a trade show or a conference where they're giving away free pens, 9 times out of 10, those pens are shit. And they literally explode.
I've got a pen from a trade show. I've got a rare pen. Microsoft Rare.
Right.
Like Viva Pinata and all that shit. I'm using it right now. It's pretty good. It's a good pen.
Okay.
Well, I also like pens.
You've got one out of the 10.
Yeah.
I also like a rare pen.
Where they say, this pen was stolen from Tyler's.
Yeah.
I love those pens.
Purposely steal.
Yeah. When I set up my business, I'm going to make pens that say that because they make me laugh.
All right, so if you haven't already figured it out, folks, for next week's show, we want you to tell us what you think are going to be the big fall game releases and or the biggest flops.
The big pens of next week.
Or the big pens, sure.
Well, you to tell us what your favorite pen is.
Yes, and throw in the favorite pen, why not? But give us your top and bottom games, Metacritic-wise, not sales-wise. We want to... what you think is going to be the highest rated and lowest rated. And remember, has to be released between September 1st and December 31st. So shoot that over to us And, you know, send it to us at ocpodcast@gmail.com. And, yeah, we will read that out on the air next week. In the meantime, Chris, play dates. We are in the final stretch. Let's talk play dates, if we even have.
Let's talk play dates. You know, I'm not really tracking a whole lot of things going on with the Labor Day weekend being upon us. I'm going to be burning animal flesh over the fire and consuming malted barley, but that's just me.
I will too. It's an excellent, excellent pastime.
Yes. But Sunday, if you're looking for something to do, the veteran gamers will be playing a little bit of Gears of War 2. Thank you. Gears of War 2 multiplayer at 6 p.m. GMT.
The clue was Horde, Chris.
Oh,
the clue was Horde.
Son of a. I failed. Mike was testing me, and I failed.
It happens.
Anyway, Gears of War 2. If people show up, we'll play Horde. If more people show up, we'll play multiplayer. There'll be some curb stomping, chainsawing, shotgunning, and it'll be a good old time.
You came last week, Chris. And of course, last week, Chris, you had fun. Yeah. It was good.
Yes.
I'll say I'll be there, but you know.
Yeah, no.
I don't believe you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Anyway, to Stomper, 1974, who ironically is 37 since he was born in 1974. Wounded Spirit, 1, Mosher Angel, Skullthrax, Mike Chin. Happy
Mike
birthday.
Chin?
And Skull Duggar. And on the subject of Skull Duggar's birthday.
Yes. We had some tweets, Mike.
Yes, we did, yeah.
Yes. So, first we had a tweet from Danger Wife. And she was wishing Mr. Skull Duggar a happy birthday. We also had a tweet from Heavy Evil to both you and Skull. And he said, before I forget, happy birthday. And then there's a link to some porn site.
No, it's a picture of a little cute kitten with a birthday cake, Greg.
No, but you know what? A big happy birthday to you and to Rich. I just wish I had known about your birthday beforehand because I would have done something crazy and stupid for you. I still may do something crazy and stupid for you, but
you should bake him a cake and send it to him in the mail. But at the slowest possible rate.
I am surface mail.
I'll tell you what, guys. I am having a barbecue at my house on Saturday on my birthday. You are both welcome.
Nice.
You know what? Put me down for a tentative.
Yes.
What are you serving? I mean, I'll travel a long way for some decent barbecue.
We got some industrial sized burgers. Like, they're big. They are big. Mm.
Seasoning?
Why not? Sure. And Tara's mother, she likes to cook. Right, I'm gonna get it. Like, okay, so they cook a lot of food that black people eat because guess what, Greg? They're black people. And
go figure, Mike.
Their food is like that. They have like rice and peas. They have chicken, the jerk chicken, all sorts of stuff. So yeah, that's gonna be there as well. Yeah, so. Come along, Greg.
All right. Yeah. Chris, you down? Burgers,
I'm down.
Rice, jerk
I'm
chicken.
Down. Jerk chicken.
Is awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, you guys are making me hungry.
Yeah. So, but yeah, whatever. You're welcome to come. It would be great if you did come. That would be the best birthday.
You would literally faint.
I'd be like, no way. But yeah. You're not.
Gonna. No, it would be one of these situations. We'd walk in the door. They'd look at me. Who the fuck is that dude?
Why is there an American here? Why am I talking American? Yeah. But yeah.
When did I become a New Yorker?
I don't know. 26. Damn it.
Yeah, I know. You're getting, like, younger.
26 is such a bullshit age. Like, it's so, like, that Duke plays a comedian on the show, and it's like 26 is such a shit, like, random age number. It's like, oh man, no one cares about 26.
It is kind of anticlimactic because at 25, especially like here in the States, you get that, you know, insurance break. You get an insurance break.
And
so you feel like you've accomplished something, and you're 25, it's kind of cool. 26, this is nothing.
Like, you're on the wrong end of 20 now.
Now you're getting close to 30. Oh.
My brother's 32, and I'm like, fuck, I'm going to be in your position soon. Shit.
Let's just put it this way, Mike. This will really depress you. You've already lived a quarter of your life.
That's if I live to 100.
I know. More it's likely, like, you've already lived a third of your life, Mike.
With my salt intake, which I won't live to 100. I'm lucky if I make it to 40.
Okay, so you've lived half your life already.
Over.
Let's just face it, Mike. You'll be dead tomorrow.
Yeah.
I pretty much feel dead already.
But, Mike, this may cheer you up. You know what? The way I look at it, you're getting younger in my eyes, because when we first met and I first started talking to you, I had you at like 35.
Really?
So you've gotten younger as the years have gone on. Yeah. Then I thought you were like 28. And then now you're 26. So, you know, hey, keep it
honestly,
up. You're going to be 17.
When did you first speak to me? I can't remember.
Well, when we first actually met up, you know, and started gaming and so, you know, it was all gaming for the elderly and couch mercenaries back in the day.
035, wasn't it?
Yeah, 035s, yeah. That was the other big clue. You were part of the 035s.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
I just kind of assumed you were over 35.
Wow, so you thought I was about 36-ish. Yeah. Wow.
Then the lie, yeah. Then I realized I was living a lie with you.
Oh, well. But, you know, 26 is still young. I've still got it. I'm still with it. I still know what the kids are doing.
I'm hip. I'm with it.
That's cool. I'm editing rap videos at the moment. I know what the kids are doing.
Yes, you. All right. So enough of that nonsense. Happy birthday, old timer. Let's talk some closing notes and get the heck out of here. We've rambled long enough. So iTunes reviews, I promise, next week we will look at them, because it's been a solid month since we last checked.
Yeah,
so.
So we might have a review.
We might not, but we may. You never know. It's like gambling.
It's like Schrodinger's review. You don't know until you look.
And we already talked about it, but we want you to email the show. Talk about question of the week, you know, big game releases, big flops. Let us know at ocpodcast@gmail.com. And if you wanted to tweet us, Chris, where would they send out that tweet?
They would send it out to @OC_podcast.
Indeed.
Very clever.
Yes. Shout outs. Mike, go.
I'll shout out. I've stolen this from Chris.
Damn you.
I'll shout out that guy. I'll let Chris do it because I saw it on Facebook. And I was very pleased. I haven't heard from him for a while, but good for that guy. I haven't spoken to him for a while. It'd be nice to speak to him again. Chris, who am I talking about?
You're talking about none other than Big Smooth 8.
Yeah. So shout out to him and congratulations to him and his – is it his wife? Is he married or is his girlfriend?
You know, I don't know.
I think it's his girlfriend. I don't think he's married with her yet. But anyway – congratulations to them both on their little daughter.
Yes.
And that's it, really. That's all I got. Sorry, Chris, I stole it.
It's all right.
Chris, go.
I'm up. Well, since you already stole mine, I'm going to say it anyway. Congratulations to JF and Lisa.
Hey.
Congratulations to the both of you. Shout out to the aforementioned Corzan, Dana, and Cybernaut for some good times on Red River. And a shout out to everyone who showed up for the Speed Halo. Speed Halo was a good fun, and we had a good large group.
Yeah.
And I'm going to shout out to Spitfire Ethan for being a genius, because he said the same thing I did about the question of the week. So he's clearly a genius because he thinks like me, and he's the only one who responded. Well done, sir. And if Mike has shouted out, and I've shouted out, and Rich isn't here, that means it's Greg's turn.
No, it ain't, because I'm going to butt in again. Shout out to Heavy Evil for sending me a happy birthday on the tweet. So thanks. Greg, go.
Okay. Well, you know, I definitely want a big shout out to JF and Lisa. Yeah. Congratulations. That is pretty awesome, for sure.
Very awesome.
But, you know, hey, legitimize that crap already, okay? You know, don't live in sin anymore. I know.
Yeah, I hope God doesn't find out.
Easy. Apparently, we're all... We jumped the gun a little bit, and it was a little boy.
Okay.
Oops.
Whoops.
Well,
I was just scissors out.
Easy. I don't think they're Jewish.
No, anyway. I was just looking on Facebook, and he's got a picture of his daughter with her little brother. So that would
be that'll make sense. But yeah, you know, the baby doesn't care. He isn't going to listen to this. Whatever.
No, not too many years later.
There's always that awkward thing as well when you see somebody with a newborn baby, and you're like, it looks cute.
Hey, speaking of awkward, I want a big shout out to Superstarless. Yeah, last week I made that offhand comment that what she was not a she and that she was a he, but she is a she. Superstarless, she is a great young lady, yes.
Yes.
And I apologize emphatically, and even though she laughed it off.
Did I say it was a girl and you said it was an
You did. You did, and I saw that after, and it was kind of impossible to take it back, but yeah.
Yeah. See, Superstarless, who likes you more, hey? Who likes you more? Who pay attention? Me. Yes.
And also, a shout-out to Heavy Evil and Mr. Bed Hairdo and Jake Brapp. And last but not least, Skull and Chinny. Happy birthday, Mitt. You know, I can't believe another year has passed and you guys.
I know. It is weird. Hey, like all these years go past now. We've been talking to each other for years.
I know. Literally. Years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
So for your birthday, I have a nice little quote to leave us on. One that I think you will find some amusement from. Not because of the actress and not really any other reason other than the fact that it's just kind of funny.
All right. Cool.
It's an interview with Eva Longoria. And the question was, what personality trait do you hate the most in other people? Her response, ignorance. Questioner said that, then what characteristic do you deplore in yourself? Eva Longoria says, wait, deplore means to hate something, right? Yeah. That's it. We're done.
We're done. Oops.
We're out of here.
Toodles.
Where, oh, where have my sound effects gone?
I have no idea what I'm doing ever.
Yeah.
Say. You should see me trying to teach my students. I'm like, yeah, you guys are going to have to figure this out yourself because I don't know.
It's good policy.
Well, I am in college, or I am teaching college, so they should be able to figure it out by themselves, mostly. I mean, that's college.
You'd think.
I'm not in college, thankfully. I've graduated from college, but
I do like the clarification.
Yeah, we'll just speak over it.
Are you getting this?
We're in downtown Bosnia right now, or in Bosnia.
It's madness on the streets. It's carpet madness. Oh yes, I can play that clip. Carpet madness. Yes.
I don't think we've ever been good. We might be ready.
I couldn't find the mailbag because it's called the Benny Hill theme song.
All right. We're good now. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of is those two really insulting racial stereotype twin robots in Transformers 2. You know the one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's yeah, they were bad. All right, let's do this.
Ow. I can click my sternum. My stretch. I don't think that's good.
See, okay, he's not on the phone. He's making popcorn or something.
Yeah. He just saw this as an excuse to go on break.
Yeah.
Chris likes to pick any excuse to have a break.
Now he's drinking. Great.
I got my own business to set up and stuff.
My bad. I forgot to mute myself. You probably heard me yelling at the dog.
I was okay.
We heard you make some popcorn or whatever you were doing.
Yeah,
I did make some delicious popcorn as well. Would you like some?
Oh, God, I want popcorn so badly right now. All right. Are we all squared away, Chris?
I don't know. Are you?
I am.
Are Mike?
You? Yep.
We are.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, I just noticed that there's a Mike Chin and a Chinny in the show.
There's only a Mike Chin now. Chinny is gone.
I still have a Chinny.
More importantly, I don't.
That's I think you have multiple Chinnies.
There are multiple Chinnies. Shit. All right, here we go. Just for you.
Brilliant. I have got this massive pain in the side of my head. I have no idea. When you started talking about Warhammer, look, this massive pain started coming in the side of my head. I don't know what the fuck it is.
It's residual effects from your copy of Red River.
That or talking about Warhammer. All right, well, let's try and speed through this then, so this way you don't have aneurysm right on the podcast.
What if I type really loudly? Would that help?
And yes, Chris, we are just getting dinner releases.
Shit.
All right, here we go. All
and right. And we're back.
You want to do it, Chris?
No, go ahead.
All right.
I can't handle the pressure.
And we're back. He's hung up already.
All right.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
Let's say what we want about Chris, because this is going to be in the outtakes. Chris, we should say this when it's recording. Chris, yes. Any chance there is for Chris to get up and feed himself, Chris will do it. Right?
He it will is get, true.
Right, break. Oh, we've stopped for 5 seconds. Time yes. for a break. He's a nightmare for it.
I know. Jeez. I know. And one of the rule breakers of the whole eating while podcasting thing. Not that you haven't broken that rule yourself.
I always break that, but I do it comically, you know? Like
sure.
It's always so funny when I do it. That's my excuse. So, yeah. Anyway, Greg, always a pleasure.
Mike, as is. Hey, go do something fun for your birthday this weekend. If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Real are for old people.
Some talk yeah. about
too
RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.